Thank you very much for the invitation, for allowing me to come and present this work, which is, as you can see, divided in two. So, and the talk is actually a joint talk based on a joint work with Aldo Riello, who will discuss part two on Friday. So the problem that we had when we started this project together was to give a description of the reduced phase space for generic Hamiltonian gauge theories on manifolds with corners. And the problem is that the usual Hamiltonian reduction paradigm that we tell ourselves is the description of the reduced phase space for Hamiltonian gauge theories needs to be refined if you allow for corners. In fact, the upshot of my talk and this work in general is that reduction happens in two stages, which we have called constraint reduction and flux superselection. I will explain what this means and what these two stages are in this talk. So ultimately, we're looking at an adjust paradigm. So the reduced phase space for Hamiltonian gauge theories on manifolds with corners is a Poisson manifold, which is foliated by symplectic leaves, much like the dual of Lie algebra is foliated in cogent orbits, as we have seen. And in fact, these symplectic leaves are labeled by the coadjoint orbits of what we call fluxes, which you can think of as corner charges. So in this talk, I will present the example of non-null Young-Mills theory running, so for every section. And Aldo will talk about the null case, which is interesting in its own right, in part two, which is still work in progress, but we're essentially done. General relativity, unfortunately, I know this is a conference on quantum gravity, so you might be slightly disappointed, but it is in progress. There are some complications, but I will mention something about this at the end. So let me start with a quick recap of the paradigm that we're trying to refine. So if you have a Hamiltonian G-space, which means a symplectic manifold with a Hamiltonian action of a Lie group, you can define an equivariant momentum map, which is a function into the dual of the Lie algebra with the following properties. It satisfies the Hamiltonian flow condition. So every fundamental vector field is a Hamiltonian vector field of H some components. And it is equivariant if you want it equivariant. So in this case, this is a general result. Given a coadjoint orbit inside the dual of the Lie algebra, we can construct a symplectic manifold by taking the preimage of this coadjoint orbit inside the symplectic space, which will be coisotropic, and quotienting by the gauge group, the group in this case. As a particular example, you can take zero as your coadjoint orbit and look at this case, which might be more familiar. Now, the other result, which is maybe less discussed, is that the whole quotient is in fact Poisson, and the symplectic leaves of this Poisson structure are precisely these symplectic manifolds constructed here. So how do we adapt this to gauge theory? So take your favorite local Lagrangian field theory on, for simplicity, a cylinder, but you can obviously generalize this, and assume that the sigma has a non-trivial corner. Now, as we have seen in the primer yesterday, Hamiltonian formulation for the field theory gives you the following data. You can describe your locally symplectic space as a space of sections of some vector bundle or fiber bundle. you have a local symplectic density or a current, as we have seen, and a local functional, which has values in densities as well, on P, a local action of the Lie group. And now the interesting requirement is that you want the flow equation and the equivariance condition to hold pointwise. So let me, let me mention something first. This pairing, this coupling between dH and psi is in general local, which means it may depend on derivatives of these gauge parameters. So that means that generally this is not infinity sigma linear, so you cannot extract functions of sigma. If you integrate these densities against along sigma, you get standard equivariant momentum map up to corners. You can introduce a cocycle condition here. So let's look at a familiar example. So we're looking at Young-Mills theory. You consider connections on sigma. In this case, sigma is space-like, so non-null more generally. And the locally symplectic space is the cotangent bundle, in quotations, of the space of connections on sigma with this symplectic form, symplectic density. You have the usual gauge action on the space, okay? And here, the Hamiltonian flow gives you this, it's satisfied if H is given by that. This is just a technical comment. If G is semi-simple, you want to restrict to irreducible connections, but of course, okay. If G is abelian, instead, all connections are reducible by constants, so we're not going to do that. And we'll see that this has consequences. So now, let's go back to the general case. The problem, which if you want is a physical problem, it's a modeling problem, is that H minus 1 of 0, where H is the local momentum map, is not the correct constraint locus, because there are additional corner conditions that are imposed by the whole H being 0, which, so to speak, kill the flux. However, you can decompose the local momentum map in a bulk term and a boundary term, where the vanishing locus of this bulk term is precisely the set of the vanishing locus of constraints. And because of that, we call H0 the constraint form and small h the flux form. Secondary problem here is that now H0 is no longer an equivariant momentum map for the whole group anymore. But its vanishing locus is still coisotropic. So the reduction still makes sense and it is symplectic. This is what we usually call the reduced phase space. Now, because we have this problem, we call it the constraint reduced phase space, which is a symplectic manifold defined like this. The question now is, can we find a subgroup of our gauge group for which C is exactly the zero level set of a momentum map equivariant so that this is precisely a symplectic reduction by the action of G0, and the answer is yes. In fact, you can take H, your flux form, you can restrict it to the constraint set, and you have the following. There is an ideal inside the Lie algebra, the gauge Lie algebra, which is given by elements that kill precisely this flux form. And that is what you were looking for. So the action has an associated momentum map, and the zero level set of that momentum map is precisely C. Okay, so we call G0 the constraint gauge group, and the quotient, which is a group because G0 is normal because this is an ideal, is called flux gauge group. Now, the interesting point is that the flux gauge group has a residual action on this first reduced space. And the flux map, in a way, gives you the momentum map for this Hamiltonian action. So now we can call this integrated H, the flux map, the one on the reduction, and the image is the flux space. So an element of F is a flux. Let me just mention briefly that equivariance now is controlled again by the Chevalier-Eilenberg cocycle that we had at the beginning, which being a corner term interacts directly with this H. So the take-home message here is that the reduction of the constraint set is not enough in the presence of corners. And in fact, you can see this because, well, functions are not observables here because you have a residual gauge symmetry of what we call the flux gauge group on this reduced space. So we need a second stage. So what happens in Young-Mills? This is the split. Okay, you could have guessed it. And H0 is precisely Gauss constraint. And you can see, as I mentioned, that if you were to impose the entirety of H to be zero, you would be killing the flux because H is precisely the flux of the electric field. Here is a small calculation. You can see that this is very concrete. The annihilator of these fluxes can be described very well, and here is the quotient. Okay, the details are not extremely important at this stage.
Sorry, Michele.
Yeah.
Quick, can you go back? Thanks. Just to clarify the logic here, suppose that you do a gauge transformation with non-vanishing gauge parameters on the corner. What would you call the Gauss constraint in that case?
No, that the Gauss constraint does not generate them. The Gauss constraint is generating just the ones that are zero at the corner. So the other ones are obtained by this quotient.
Right, then you're, okay, I see. So maybe this would be good to clarify, because usually the logic here, at least a la Reggio Teitelbaum that we are more used to, is that in that case, you would define your improved gauge transformation generator to be not just what you're calling the Gauss constraint, but the Gauss constraint plus the boundary term. So would you agree with
this?
Yeah,
sure,
logic,
exactly. In fact, that's this H, if I understand correctly what you're saying, that is H. So this is the Gauss constraint plus the boundary term. And this, in fact, being the Hamiltonian momentum map of the action of the entire group, then it generates everything.
Okay,
sure.
Then this is okay. Just to
sure,
understand
but,
the relation
but you,
with
you
the
want
usual.
You want to quotient the constraint set by its characteristic distribution, and this is generated by G0.
Okay, understand. Thanks.
Okay, so here the formulas are not important, and just again to show that everything is very concrete. So you can give a concrete description of this first reduced phase space. And this is, well, the quotient of these are radiative electric fields, these are all connections, modulo the action of G0, so gauge transformations that vanish at the boundary. And these are Coulombic fields, electric fields, so elements, electric fields restricted at the corner. In the case of G abelian, this is even nicer, and you can see that globally you have this this description. So the first reduced phase space is this object right here. So where P rad double underline is the set of radiative fields, and you get the cotangent bundle of the flux gauge algebra there. So this is what you get. Notice I will mention this later. This is a reduced space, but it's also extended in the way that we like to call things. So now what do we do? The first stage reduction gave us a symplectic manifold, which is C1 underline. And this flux map is a momentum map for a residual action on it. So what we can do now is we can look at the coadjoint orbits of a flux in here. Sorry, these should be all underlined. Apologies for that. And you can look at all on-shell configurations whose flux is inside this orbit, and they are acted upon by gender line. In other words, you take the pre-image of a conjoint orbit inside the first reduced space, and you quotient by the action of the group, and by Marcin-Weinstein reduction theorem, this is symplectic. We call this superselection sector given a flux F. And what we proved by just applying all techniques to this infinite dimensional setting is that, the second reduced space, which is the fully reduced phase space that you want to look at, splits in this way. So it's a decomposition, it's a foliation of superselection sectors, which ultimately are conjoint orbits. So let's look at the example of Young-Mills. We have the first reduction is given by this. we have that flux gauge group acts freely on this space. And so we have a fiber bundle that locally has this shape. Okay, so again, the first reduced phase space is the extended phase space that we like to look at, but there is no extension. This is actually a reduction. so if you look at the flux map and you think of it as an identification between radiative electric fields and the dual of the flux gauge algebra with underlines everywhere, sorry about that, you can see immediately that the superselection sectors are included using these local descriptions inside C underline, and so we have a foliation. So it's the color coding should help you follow this inclusion. Okay, so this is the example for Young-Mills. So to conclude, I want to say that working on shell is cumbersome because you need to solve equations of motion and that might be complicated. So what we can do is we can induce corner data off shell. This relates, it's very similar to what Giovanni was saying in the Gong Show yesterday. so the upshot is that there is a procedure I don't have time to describe. And you can map your symplectic space times your gauge algebra to something analogous on the corner. You can look at, you can recover on shell data by looking at some space, some submanifold inside P. And the result is that this corner data is in fact, well, okay, maybe you don't care about this, but it's a symplectically algebraic, so it has a nice structure. Because of this, P partial is a Poisson manifold. Okay, this is a consequence of this. and the on-shell data inside P boundary, P corner, is a Poisson submanifold. In fact, since we have talked about several Poisson structures in this context, we have a diagram that connects them all. Here, this is the symplectic, hence Poisson, first reduced phase space. This is the second reduced phase space. And this is the corner coming from the off-shell construction. And they are all compatible. Okay, this is very abstract, so let's look at an example. So for Young-Mills theory, this is very explicit, and it's given by, this expression. Okay, you can make sense of this. For those who are more mathematically minded, this is not a fever dream, but it makes sense. for Chern-Simons theory, the interesting thing is that this Poisson structure that you get on the corner knows automatically about the central extension that gives us centrally extended loop group. Okay, so this is automatic. You can interpret this Poisson structure as the Poisson structure of the neutral charge algebra that we want to discuss. And relating to some of the talks yesterday, maybe today as well, the Casimirs of this Poisson structure are precisely the labels of the superselections, which gives us a hint on how to go about quantization, for example. So to conclude, this is the big diagram that summarizes the entire construction. You start from a symplectic, locally symplectic space, and you have two reduction procedures. And these S double underline F are the superselection sectors. So first take-home message, the partial reduction is an extended phase space in this terminology. Okay? The full reduction is a Poisson manifold with symplectic leaves given by these flux superselection sectors. The charge algebra, the neutral charge algebra, is encoded by the Poisson structure at the corner, which can it can be like the one in the full reduction or the one obtained from the off-shell construction. And the problem with the extension to gravity is that, well, we don't really know if there is a momentum map picture for this theory, but we have ideas, and I know that some people in the audience also have ideas, and it would be interesting to discuss those ideas. Finally, I want to say that the relation to soft charges, asymptotic symmetries, memory effect, and all that will be clear in Aldo's talk, which will talk about null Young Mills. Also, Kasia's talk in 2 days will take similar, similar perspective, and the flux map will be given in her talk in the BVBFE language. So this is just looking ahead. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Michele. Are there questions? Oh, I can try to throw it from here, but I think it's not a good idea.
From here, yes. Hey, thank you for the presentation. Do you expect any complication if you go to group valued momentum maps and not, so is it gonna, so it's complicated in a normal case, but do you expect obstructions or things like that?
So that's not immediately the type of generalization that I would think about as the first generalization, but so I haven't really thought about that. I think there is another generalization that's interesting, which is momentum section. So where instead of looking at a Lie algebra action, you look at an algebraoid. So you do everything in instead of fiber-wise, you do it in bundles. And that is, for example, one way where you can possibly tackle gravity, at least on shell. So, sorry, it's I dodged your question, but.
So if I understand correctly, the super selection sectors are associated with some residual gauge transformations at the corner.
Yeah.
Now, in the null case, we know why such residual gauge transformations could arise, but here you were working on a like a time-like boundary you had in mind. You
yeah.
said this was the
space-like
non-null
or
case,
or
right?
Time-like. Sorry?
This was the non-null case.
Non-null case.
So in this case, what is the... Do you have in mind some physical settings in which you might have such residual
well, you have
gauge
them,
symmetries?
You have them in Young-Mills theory. You have... Where is it? So, I mean, right. So you see that, I don't know, you want to call them edge modes, perhaps? I don't know. It's that story, right? So here you can see that this residual gauge is part of the first stage reduction. It exists, it's not zero, and it labels the symplectic leaves of the Poisson that you get from the reduction.
So anyway, the viewpoint is, suppose that for some, we have a system in which we have residual gauge transformation, that this is the reductions we will be doing.
But you generically have residual
gauge. Right, assuming that you generically, okay.
You have them generically, because you
Well, I could give you boundary conditions for which there's no more.
Okay, yes, sure.
Why do you say generic?
Okay. So if you add boundary conditions into the game,
that key that removes then, all the possible residual gauge transformation,
yeah.
Then you don't have this.
But the free theory, let's say, so without boundary conditions, will generically have the structure.
Okay, yeah, sure. Okay, thank you.
Laurent?
Just a clarification question. What you call the second reduction is when you go from the full case to the quotient orbit, is that?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. And you mentioned in gravity that the maps are not symplectic. Are you referring to the supertranslation and the flux issue?
No, well, what I meant, so you, I started from the assumption that, sorry, yeah. So I start from the assumption that I have this data. And for gravity, I don't know how to give this data. I know you have some proposals, and it's something that we're working on, but at the present moment, I don't know how to give this data for gravity. That's the problem.
Yeah, I had a question. I guess you were saying this was for time-like boundaries. I'm just curious because I guess the Donnelly-Friedel extended phase space is somehow doesn't depend on how you're extending the surface away from your corner, if you get what I'm saying. So
yeah,
where does the fact that it's time-like come in, and is it sensitive to saying boosting?
No, I mean, Aldo, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think in the null case you will see a similar phenomenon, right? So you also get that the first stage reduction is something times the cotangent bundle reduced.
Yeah, so if I can maybe also tie this question to Simone's one. Maybe adding something. Can you go back one slide? You had the, in this case where the surface, the 3D hypersurface is either space-like or time-like, doesn't really matter. The G naught are essentially, except for in the abelian case, but they're morally the gauge transformation that vanish at the boundary, and what is left over are gauge transformations at the boundary. These will stay true in the null case. So if we add boundary conditions and we want these boundary conditions to get rid of this piece, then there must be gauge breaking boundary conditions. So whatever else that is done covariantly has this residual symmetry. In the null case, what is, this will stay true. What will change, however, is in the symplectic structure that will be extended, in quotes, after first stage reduction, will not be delta E, delta A. We have the Ashtekar-Streubel thing.
Ah, that's right.
And the extension will work differently. And the reason things work differently is also related to the fact that the Gauss constraint takes quite a different form in the null case. So one has to solve the Gauss constraint to say what these super selections are, et cetera, it's a non-shell statement. The properties of the Gauss constraint method.
But yeah, so in a way you have a decomposition of this type, but the symplectic structure on what would be this PRAD is different, is Ashtekar-Streubel. Thank you, Aldo.
All right, I think it is time to stop, so let's thank Michele again for the next talk.